April 27th, Saturday of the fourth week of Easter. During college, I took a seminar on the philosophy of history. We examined various ways of interpreting history. Was history produced by the decisions and actions of great leaders, or by the collective attitudes and behaviors of the masses? Or was history a force in its own right with its own purpose, logic, and flow? Or was it just a series of random actions with no logic or purpose, just, as one famous historian said, one darn thing after another, only he used a little bit stronger language? From a biblical perspective, history is the unfolding of God's almighty will in our world. We may think we control it, we may try to bend it to our will, but if we think we can control history, we are just fooling ourselves. Like a mighty river, history flows inexorably toward its ultimate end, picking up and carrying along anyone who tries to stand against it. The readings from the Acts of the Apostles that we are following during this Easter season are an especially clear and compelling example of that reality. Today's first reading is typical. Paul and Barnabas have been traveling around the eastern Mediterranean from city to city proclaiming the good news about Jesus. The message and the signs they worked to confirm it often received a favorable hearing among some, but also provoked bitter, even violent opposition among others, especially in the Jewish community, as in this reading. Yet every attempt to intimidate or stop them just led to more opportunities, more doors opening. When the Jews rejected them, they went to the Gentiles, who received them with great openness and joy, so, quote, the word of the Lord continued to spread. When some of the prominent people drove them out of the town, they went on to the next town. The net result was never discouragement or frustration, but, as this passage concludes, the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. This was the story with Paul and his companions through many journeys across thousands of miles throughout the eastern part of the Roman Empire, facing beatings, stoning, constant threats, imprisonment, shipwrecks, and every other kind of challenge imaginable, yet always spreading the word, inspiring new believers, forming and encouraging them, and founding new churches wherever they went. Paul was able to carry on with unshakable faith in the power of God's will and the mission he was given because of his own experience. As we heard in last week's readings, Paul himself, thinking he was nobly fighting for God's honor, was zealously committed to stopping the spread of belief in Jesus as the Christ, to the point of violence and even murder, when he came face to face with the Jesus whom he fought so bitterly. In that stunning, life-changing moment, he found that he was up against a power so overwhelming it was futile to try to oppose it. Even more amazing, it was not a power based on force and violence, but the power of love. Rather than beat Paul down, humiliate, and destroy him, as he deserved, this Jesus embraced him and won his heart, forgiving him and empowering him as a disciple to spread the faith he had so vehemently opposed. Not only did this experience launch Paul's ceaseless activity on behalf of Jesus, but it gave him the key insight that is his greatest contribution to Christian theology, the doctrine of grace. That is the conviction that we cannot accomplish anything worthwhile by ourselves. We cannot make ourselves right with God or do any lasting good. It is only by trusting and following God's will that we can accomplish anything worthwhile for ourselves and others. God is in charge, not us. This is the point Jesus is making in today's gospel. He assures his disciples that the great works they have seen him do are not his, but come from the Father. Quote, "The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works." End quote. Moreover, he assures them that by believing in him, they too will do great works. Again, I quote, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do." As it was with Paul and the other disciples, so it has been throughout the church's history. It has faced constant opposition and persecution from without, and failure, scandal, and infidelity from within. Yet it has survived and grown, touching countless lives and bringing the good news to every corner of the world. Indeed, opposition seems to make it stronger. And so it is today. While there is decline in some parts of the world, especially the more prosperous parts of North America and Europe, there are still many deeply committed and generous believers. And in many parts of the world, including Africa, India, Vietnam, and other parts of Asia, the church continues to grow, often in the face of poverty, violence, persecution, and other forms of opposition. God is at work, overcoming all obstacles to the unfolding of his will. We have only to believe to be part of this glorious triumph.